If you have your Bibles, I would like for you to turn with me into God's Word back to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We continue our message on the freedom that we have in Christ. And so we look carefully at the Word of God, and again we read it. And I actually want to begin actually with verse 13, and we will read to verse 17. We read the whole section last time, but we did not finish the sermon, so I would like to concentrate on those verses 13 through 17 and deal with this matter of Christian liberty, Christian freedom. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 13, hear the word of God. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. And here is our text this morning. Act as free men. Or as free. Act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bondslaves or servants of God. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Well, how we carry our Christianity before a lost and dying world is very important. This is what Peter is dealing with in this text of Scripture. I told you that last week I met Brigadier General retired Jim Walker and how I appreciated his testimony. He gave us a little statement, and I liked some of the things that he said as a Marine for 33 years that speaks to us as Christians. One of the things he said is that true freedom, the price of true freedom, is eternal vigilance. Think about that. The price of true freedom is eternal vigilance. That is, if we desire to preserve freedom, that it is incumbent upon us to be vigilant, to be serious. He said that is one of the themes of the Marine Corps. The Marine is always vigilant, always ready. His very training has prepared him for the future. And I like one of the other statements that the Marine Corps has. He says that preparation dictates future action. Every Marine is taught that. That preparation dictates future action. That is, as you prepare yourself for what the world is going to throw at you, that preparation is critical. And so he said that in the Marines, they have a high degree of preparation in order to perform the responsibility in the defense of freedom. I really enjoyed Jim Walker. I really appreciated the things that he had. And he said they have little things in the Marine Corps that are most important to them. He said the most important thing in a Marine Corps uniform, a corpsman, is that every Marine, when he walks up to the other Marine, the badge that he wants to see is the expert marksmanship badge on his shoulder. They don't look at the other things. The Marine looks primarily at that badge. If they are an expert in marksmanship, now they would say, now that's a Marine. And that badge is larger than the other badges that they wear. And he said, that's what a Marine's looking for. And he said, well, not to be like him, but that at least he was a sharpshooter. And that badge is a little smaller. And he said, when you walk past a Marine with a little bit smaller badge, they just kind of look and say, okay, he at least passed as a sharpshooter. He said, but if you just make the grade, they have a little bitty pen. And he said, they have a very descriptive name for that little pen of a Marine who has not performed. That is a Marine that, and it's not nice for me to say it. So it's a little pen, and they regard it as a little pen. And so his point was that preparation as believers is important. That we as Christians need to take those means of grace that God has given us in His Son, who has set us free, and that we are to take those things seriously. I just like some of the things that Jim Walker said about preparation and diligence and being about the work of God and being proficient at it, being productive at it, taking it seriously. And I think that there's something to be said for that diligence to us as Christians. And in this particular passage, Peter is trying to set some things right that have gone astray in the minds of some Christians. And it has to do with Christian freedom. And we know that the Christian's definition of freedom is different than the world's definition of freedom. The world's definition of freedom is, I am free to do what I want to. I am free to live for myself. I am free to enjoy any kind of lifestyle I desire. We know the world's definition of freedom, don't we? It has all kinds of connotations to it in which men in their fallenness define freedom. But the Christian's understanding and definition of freedom, as we dealt with last week, was a definition that freedom for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is freedom from ignorance. That is, not in a putting down way, but a lack of information. This world has blinded the heart of those who do not believe. And so, my dear friends, our Lord has opened our hearts to the truth. And so we have been freed from that blindness and that darkness of the world. And that's why I think that, as I've seen in so many Christians' lives, that they love the Word. That the Spirit of God puts a love of the Word in their heart. Because when Jesus says, if I make you free, you shall be free indeed. Don't you just see Christians soaking up the Word of God? Why? Why do you see that as such a key thing? Well, first of all, because it prepares Christians for service. The Word of God prepares us for service. And the right use of the Word of God serves us in the life of the church in many different ways. But that Word of God also proclaims to us in a most elementary way the truth. Dr. Francis Schaeffer used to call it the true truth. I love to hear him talk because when he said something of the truth of God's Word, he liked to repeat it. And we're saved by grace. And we're saved by grace. He would repeat it. And I love Dr. Schaeffer when he did that because he wanted us to get the point that we as Christians have a marvelous Word that informs us about reality and its truth. And that's why the Word of God is so important, because it not only shows you the redemption of Christ and the forgiveness of sins through Christ and His atonement, but it teaches you the truth of reality as the way it exists. How precious the Word of God should be to each one of us. However, many of these Christians, there were some Christians whom Peter is addressing who had taken their liberty and their proclamation as Christians, that they had taken liberty with it, you might say, that they proclaimed themselves to be Christians, and they had a disposition in their heart to be inclined not to obey civil authorities and magistrates. They had a problem with authority, and they began to proclaim within the context of the church that they had the liberty. They had the liberty to defy authority because they were free in Christ. And so you've got to understand the depth of what Peter is addressing these Christians on. That their liberty, as has been given to them by Christ, does not give them the liberty to disobey the other ordinances of God that He has laid down. That is, Christ Jesus has not saved them in order to put a stamp of approval on sin. That you and I have an obligation in the freedom that Christ has given us to be obedient. Another way of putting it, and it's a lovely way, Christ has set us free to be His bondservant. Don't you like the connotation of the language there? But to be His bondslave is to be His free man. Isn't that an interesting kind of mix? He has set us free to be His bondservant, and to be His bondservant is to be His free man. And my dear friends, this is what Peter is trying to address among these Christians. Peter is telling them, don't you know that indeed Christ has set you free? You have been set free from that ignorance of sin and its effect, and ignorance of the reality that is around you. Your mind and your heart has been opened by the Spirit of God to the truth. And that truth sets you free. You shall know the truth. Remember, Jesus, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Peter is saying here in 2 Peter or 1 Peter that Christians, however set free in Christ, do not have a license to disobey other ordinances of God that have been laid down for their benefit. You and I have an obligation, a responsibility to all that Christ has spoken to us in obedience. No area of our life is left outside of the realm of His glory. I like a little verse, and it says, and it is found in Psalm 119, verse 45. And in Psalm 119, you know that Psalm 119 is the great longest chapter in the Psalms, and you know it's devoted to the veracity and the truth of God's Word. His precepts are true. His truth is right. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Psalm 119. But listen to this verse as it speaks of the believer who has come to the Word of God and to Christ for salvation. Psalm 119, verse 45. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out Your precepts. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out Your precepts. There is joined there what? The very concept of Christian freedom, but it is very much tied to what? The precepts and the truth and the teaching of God's Word in the Gospel and all the principles recorded into the Word of God. Don't you know that you have an obligation and a heart for the Word of God? God has set you free. He has set you free, in one sense, from sin. He has set you free from the bondage associated with sin. He has set you free from its dominion. And He has set you free in order that you might serve Him. He has set you free, indeed, that you might be called His servants. And you're also free from that covenant of the law, which affirms that salvation must necessarily be by works if it is a covenant of law. Isn't that true? And so you have been set free from the covenant as a means of salvation through the law. You have been set free from those precepts. You have been set free from those things that in our sin would condemn us and find us falling short of. God has set us free from that covenant of law that demands complete and perfect obedience. God has set us free as His children to live for Christ and to be His servant. You see, these Christians had taken liberty itself with the liberty that God had purchased for them through Christ. They were taking the very foundation and saying, in one respect, Christ has set me free. I'm a Christian, and I love the Lord, and I'm walking with Him today. And because I'm a Christian, you know, I don't have to obey the civil authorities. I don't have to obey the magistrates. I don't have to pray for them. I don't have to obey them because I've been set free in Jesus Christ. Have you ever heard people talk about Christian liberty in that way? I've been set free. I'm a Christian. And I can do this if I want to. And I like what the Apostle Paul said to some of the Christians who had that very libertarian attitude toward doing some things from a selfish point of view. He said, of course, all things are meanable, but not all things are good. There are many things that we've been given the liberty to that are not building up to the body of Christ or glorifying to God. So therefore, we should take our liberty and use it in a restrained way as far as the things of the world. And these Christians were taking it to a nth degree. And the ultimate expression is they were saying, as Christians, we have the liberty in Christ to ignore the ordinances of God with regard to the magistrates and those around us. My dear friends, just because Christ has set us free, that doesn't give us a bill of right to sin against the Lord and disobey His ordinances. Amen? Isn't that true? That is true. As a matter of fact, you and I are bound in Christ till He comes to all of those that He's spoken. Remember in the Great Commission, He said what? Go ye therefore into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Amen? All that I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. You see, even within that context of the Great Commission is the responsibility in Christ of you and I who have been set free in Christ and who are called by His name. That, my dear friends, we do it not out of compulsion, not out of demand, but we do it out of grace and out of love that He has placed in our hearts, and we seek obedience to the Lord. Amen? We seek obedience to the Lord because of His place in our heart, in our life. We seek what is pleasing in His sight when we in our heart know that He has had mercy upon us. So being obedient to that which He has commanded in His ordinances are not burdensome. And to the Christian who is free, they are not taken as a means to justify us before God, because we are already justified by faith through the finished work of Christ upon Calvary. That's what makes us fit for the kingdom. And don't you know that Christ has then set you free through that accomplishment of His grace in that covenant and has set you free to serve who? He has set you free to serve Him. And I like what our Brigadier General Jim Walker was saying. He goes to Mount Vernon, by the way, Baptist Church in Boone. I hope that we can get to know him some. He coordinates a ministry through Samaritan's Purse for helping veterans. And so I hope you get to meet him one day and talk to him. But he was very serious about Christians being prepared. And you as Christians have been brought. You have been bought, not only brought, but you have been bought by the blood of Christ. You are not your own. And that is not a harsh statement or a demeaning statement. But I would rather be a bondservant of the Lord rather than Satan's free man. How about that? I would rather be a bond slave to the Lord than to be Satan's free man. As a matter of fact, dear friends, these Christians who are proclaiming this liberty to ignore the ordinances of God with regard to the magistrates and obedience to those who serve, and in this passage you're given a right understanding of the purpose of God for those public officials. But you see, the argument among these Christians even comes back, well, what if these magistrates or these overseers are evil? What if they don't though serve the interest of God? And what does Peter say and God say? You still have a responsibility for conscience sake to the Lord to be obedient. And the Lord will give you strength. Did the Lord Himself not stand before Pilate and give the good profession of faith? Did He not? Did not the Lord Himself sit before Pilate and give the good answer of the faith? And He did it in such a way as to be obedient to the things of God His Father and to the Word in order that He might be that perfect sacrifice on our behalf. It is good to look at the life of the Lord in these matters, isn't it? It is good to see His life as He lived before us the things of God. And my dear friends, Peter is calling these Christians to be careful how they are taking their Christian liberty. Be sure that you don't use your Christian liberty Peter says, as a means for evil. Act as free men. And do not what? Use your freedom as a covering for evil. Do you see the heinousness of what these Christians were doing? These were Christians claiming to be Christians who were doing this. They were claiming to be free in Christ. And as they were claiming to be free in Christ, they were sinning against God by disobeying and despising and hating those who were over them. And my dear friends, that's what makes it so malicious. That's why he says, do not use your freedom as a what? As a covering or a cloak for evil. And we as Christians, you see, it would be hard to argue with a Christian who claimed freedom in Christ. It would be hard to oppose them, wouldn't it? That they were claiming to be free in Christ, but yet cloaking by their conduct certain evil. And my dear friends, you and I, as believers, what it confesses to us that we as Christians must be careful with yet remaining sin in our life. Are we susceptible to hold our freedom and oftentimes cloak evil and claim to still be Christians? We are wonderful Christians. We love the Lord. But then we have the danger in our life of cloaking evil. And so he says to us as believers, Peter says to these Christians, but Peter, and they say back to Peter, we're suffering. These magistrates are not very kind to us. And what does Peter say to them through the Holy Spirit? You still have a responsibility. Act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil. And three verses before that, he said, act as free men so that people might see your good works and thus glorify God, and that the foolishness of those who accuse you of not living as Christians will be put to shame. And you see, that's all the more why we are to prepare ourselves and live as Christians in this world, as in holistic perspective, not just in portions, not claim to be free in Christ and trust in His atonement and all that He has done for us, but yet have things that we cloak that we don't want anyone to know about, or we do have certain attitudes. Well, you know about the police. We don't have to obey the speed limits, you know. My gracious. Just test that one far enough and see how far you get. My dear friends, but people in our lawlessness of our day have all kinds of means of ignoring the things of God, don't they? Matter of fact, that is the very heart of rebellion, is the ignorance and the ignoring of the things of God and the things of Christ. And you as Christians should not be named among those people who use their freedom as a cloak for evil. It not should ever be named among you. That you have been set free to serve the Lord. And the reason that you should prepare yourself as a believer to live freely in the Lord is because the world, first of all, is out there ready to accuse you of saying, see, I told you so. They're not really Christians because, you know, I know so-and-so. He claims to be a Christian, but on Monday he does this and this and this and this, which is not Christian. I'm just as good as he is. You see, the world, Peter's trying to say, see, the world is out there ready to disclaim, ready to put down you as a Christian. They're ready, right for it, because they want you to be like them. Slaves to their sin and to their passions and to their way of life. But you have not been called in Christ to such slavery. And you have not been called in Christ to disobey the ordinances of God. But you have been called in Christ and set free to love Him and to serve Him. And I would ask you this morning, what's the size of that Christian badge that you are wearing this morning? When Brigadier General Jim comes by and he looks at your Christian uniform, what does he see? Does he see the badge of being the expert, the one who has prepared themselves for the life in the kingdom of God and who serve God? What is the size of the badge of your service? Is it in Christ? Or have you just made the grade and you made sharpshooter and that badge just a little smaller? But lo and behold, how many badges we see of Christ in so many lives. That it's just a little badge. We just did enough to get by. And the rest of it we just didn't take serious. And so the Marine looks at the badge of Christianity upon her chest and he says, that fellow just didn't take preparing himself seriously. He didn't take seriously the atonement of Christ and its import to set him free. He didn't realize that the Lord had set him free, for by grace you are saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. For you are what? Christ, workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. How is your walk today? Is your walk like that of a free person in Christ? I am bound to Christ. I am so bound to Him in my union of soul that by His grace I have been saved, and through His atonement I am called His own. I am His child. And the warning in one of the passages early on, Jesus says, listen, the servant will not remain in the house forever. That is a person who just serves God and just wants to get by. He said, the servant will not remain forever in the household, but what? The child of God will remain forever. Are you living for the Lord not just simply as a servant, but are you living for Him as His child? For the servant will not remain forever. If it's burdensome to you to be a Christian, if it's just difficult for you to get by, my dear friends, I encourage you to evaluate your soul and your life as to what badge you are wearing for the sake of Christ. I hope you are marked with Christ by a very large badge. Study to show yourself to prove as a workman who needeth not be ashamed, handling accurately the Word of God. My dear friends, how have you handled your freedom and your Christianity? I tell you, much of what is defined as freedom today, even among Christians, is a liberty to do what I wish to do. And we have lost the sense in so many respects of what it means to be truly free. Christ has set you free, indeed. By His blood, He has purchased you and set you free. Yes, free to be His child and free to live for Him. That ought to be enough for a Christian who has experienced such grace, that God would have mercy on the likes of us and bring us that position that we truly belong to Him, that we truly serve to Him. There should never be any even disposition of the idea that we would take that freedom that Christ has given us and bought us through and ever in any respect ever use it as a cloak or an excuse or a foundation by which justifies us to do evil. My dear friends, Christ's atonement never justifies any evil in our life, does it? Does the atonement of Christ justify any evil in our life? Absolutely not. And you are called to pursue it with earnestness and with genuineness and with sincerity. Prepare yourselves. Prepare yourselves as Christians to wear the badge of service for Christ, holding that freedom that He has given you as a precious gift. Guard your freedom. The price of freedom is eternal vigilance. Amen? Amen. May God indeed make you free indeed. And may you know it in your heart. And may you guard your soul against the dangers in which these Christians have come to. May the Lord keep us ever on the path. Oh Lord, search me and know me. And if there's any hurtful way in me, lead me in the path everlasting. You know that that was Dr. Morton Smith's final verses? Oh Lord, search me and know me. If there's any hurtful way in me, lead me in the way everlasting. Our dear friend Dr. Morton Smith went home to be with the Lord this past week, and I thank God for the example of Christian freedom that he demonstrated before us who were his children and his students of the freedom of what it meant to serve Christ. Amen. Aren't you glad for those people who example those things before you of living for Christ in the light of his freedom? What a great example we had in him as a believer. May the Lord keep us close to himself and live for him in these days. Let's pray together. Father, we will walk in the freedom of Christ because we have sought out your precepts and have looked at them and seen the goodness of them. Father, there was a time when we did not have an eye for freedom. We were actually slaves to our sin and slaves to this world and to the devil. And yet, Lord, we thought we were free. Only to discover when Christ opened our mind and our hearts to the gospel that we were slaves to our sin. And it was through the love and the genuineness and the sacrifice of Christ by which we were delivered from our bondage. And we were set free to be His bond slave. We were free in Christ to serve Him, which is freedom indeed. Our Lord, You have been so good to us in so many ways that, Lord, we know Your Word speaks to us as it tells us that he who seeks to save his life and live according to his own terms, he will lose his life. But, Lord, he who whose life is surrendered to the Lord, who lives for the Lord, and become His bond slave, that they shall find their life. Father, we thank You for this this unusual teaching that we have in Christ to be truly liberating. Grant us, Lord, to walk in the Lord Jesus Christ and be found as servants of His, that when He comes, that He might find us walking according to His precepts and to His truth and to the gospel and according to the freedom that is in Christ in the Word. Lord, teach us evermore even how to apply that in our everyday life as we relate to those in authority over us. Lord, help us to pray for those who are in authority over us. And Lord, help us not to despise or to use our freedom as a covering to do evil. But Father, help us to do that which is right in Your eyes and to love You only. In Jesus' name we pray.